Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hi, I'm Maria.
And I'm Mike. And we're
Team Ready. Black Hills Energy knows your home is where your heart is, so they want you to be ready.
It's all about keeping you safe, prepared, and making your home as energy efficient as possible.
Everything from how to weatherize your home to how to stay safe during extreme weather.
Be ready for anything. Go to blackhillsenergy.com/teamready.
Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Podcast. We're giving you our NFL picks for the week. We're also going to be talking Urban Meyer, everything going there. Some fantasy advice from the one and only Kevin Wilson as well. We'll talk college football, maybe get into some college basketball, and even a little bit of UFC talk today. That and so much more. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Podcast.
From Belly Up Sports and the Belly Up Podcast Network, you're listening to the Sports Stove Podcast with your host, Vince Stover.
Welcome in to a new edition of the Sports Stove Podcast. We are glad to be with you. We got all kinds of sports to talk about tonight. And joining me, as he normally does, is my dad, Dale Stover. Dad, how you doing?
Doing good. And a lot to talk about. Got a lot going on in sports and all different sports, all different levels. And, of course, I know we're going to talk some fantasy football tonight, and that's exciting because the regular season is over. And in the words of the immortal Jim Mora, playoffs, we're there.
We've got a playoffs rant already. I love it. One of these days we'll get some more media and things going on as well in here. We will be joined in just a couple of minutes here by Kevin Wilson of Belly Up Sports to talk fantasy football, important starts and sits. There's so much going on with the COVID stuff and injuries, and we're not dealing with bye weeks in the fantasy football, which is nice, but we are dealing with other things. And if someone could please tell COVID that we're entering fantasy football playoffs and we need this to stop. So we'll see. We'll talk to Kevin Wilson in just a couple minutes about who you should start, who you should sit this week in fantasy football. Of course, a game kicking off right now in the NFL as well. We'll get to all that, though, in the minutes to come. Dad, I want to start the show today talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars and Urban Meyer. We've talked about Urban Meyer a lot this year, and it seems like the last domino to fall was the former kicker saying that he kicked me in practice, and that was it. It for Urban Meyer. Off he goes into the sunset as a failed NFL experiment. Just another college coach that couldn't cut it, supposedly. What surprised me, Dad, is I knew he was a horrible human being. That's not surprising. What surprised me was that he wasn't a good enough or smart enough coach to make it work in the NFL. He didn't know how to handle his players at the end of the day, how to treat his players. And that really surprised me when it's all said and done, because I've never heard too many players say bad things about Urban Meyer.
No, you really hadn't, you know, in the college level. So it was kind of interesting. We talked before the season. The big challenge, I think, for him was to adapt to the pro game in a lot of ways. And that was obviously he didn't do well at that. And he was going to have to get players to buy into his system because he was still doing some college type of things from there. But everything went downhill when the nightclub incident happened because he obviously lost the players. They had no respect for him after that. And then, of course, they just kept losing. So it was obvious he wasn't going to be there long. So they didn't need to put up with the stuff that was going on. I think the Jaguars made a very smart move to get rid of him when they did, because I think this would have just gotten uglier and uglier as the season went on, like with this kicker coming out with information this week. So they made the right move. You know, it's interesting because, you know, I know he was a public speaker and gave a lot of speeches, even had a program here in the town where I live. But yet, you know, there were character flaws. You kind of looked, I guess he had the personality that you always kind of overlooked that, you know. Well, I got to get out of coaching because of my health. Well, no, I feel good enough. I'll get back in it now. Well, no, I'll get back out. No, I'll get back in it. Well, there. And then, of course, the nightclub thing came out, and all of a sudden you realized, yeah, this isn't good. Be interesting to see what happens. I don't think he'll coach again. Strangely enough, though, you know, some network, he'll be back on TV, which is probably sad from that standpoint.
Oh, he'll definitely be back on TV. I assume back on Fox. Might even see him come playoff time and different things like that going on as well. You know, there were issues in Florida. There were issues at Ohio State when it came to coaches and just some things that he kind of swept under the rug, didn't handle correctly, those kinds of things. And that's where you began to realize he's not a great human being. But at the same time, he did well with his college kids. I say that, you know, he had a kid that ended up growing up and murdering someone. So I'm not sure how much that had to do with him, how much he let slide while he was there at Florida, those kinds of things. I don't know. But again, what surprised me with his time in Jacksonville is he was not able to learn how to respond to and react with professional athletes. And I was really surprised by that. And the reports that came out of the stuff that went on in the meeting with his assistant coaches saying I had a better staff in Bowling Green. I mean, he hired the staff, so I'm not real sure what he's doing talking about that kind of stuff as well. And then there was no offensive creativity. The coaching aspect of it, too, really wasn't working. And maybe it's because he didn't have the buy-in from the players. I don't know. But at the end of the day, this might go down as the worst college-to-pro coaching situation that's ever happened. I mean, the Saban stuff didn't go great. You know, the Steve Spurrier stuff didn't go great, but at the end of the day, this one looks really bad, and I'm surprised by it. To me, the name that makes the most sense next year for Jacksonville is Byron Leftwich. Leftwich played quarterback at Jacksonville. He's now the offensive coordinator at Tampa, and it would make sense if I'm a good PR move. It would make sense, I think, football wise too, for Leftwich to come back. He's been very successful. Obviously, he's got Tom Brady as his quarterback, which helps a lot. Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback. We haven't been able to see that yet because of how bad Jacksonville is. But to me, Leftwich makes sense. You've got the other obvious names, Eric Bieniemy, Daboll up in Buffalo, those kind of guys as well. Coach Calipari here in Lexington came out for Marv Lewis saying that Jacksonville should go out and get Marvin Lewis. Because he's a program builder, had some decent seasons in Cincinnati while he was there as well. So I don't know. There's a lot of names out there. Are there any names that interest you when it comes to Jacksonville?
Well, I was thinking about it today, and one name, I don't want to lose him to Green Bay, but at some point we're going to, and a guy like Nathaniel Hackett would make a lot of sense. You know, he's worked with quarterbacks. He's very well liked by the play. He creates an exciting atmosphere. And I think that's part of what Jacksonville is going to need. I think they have some talent. They're going to have some more great draft picks coming up. They need somebody to energize the situation, somebody the players are really going to get behind quickly, but also is a good coach. And with Trevor Lawrence, I mean, you know, he should be a guy that you build the program around. So you need a guy that can do that. But Leftwich makes a lot of sense, too. But I think to go with somebody younger, maybe Marvin Lewis would be good. But I think somebody younger that can definitely relate to the players and create excitement with Jacksonville is what they're going to need. I don't think they need a guy, an older proven guy that's going to have a system that's going to come in and, okay, everything's going to change and it's going to be my system. I think a guy
needs to. Like they tried with Tom Coughlin, right?
A guy needs to be able to work with stuff. So, Hackett's going to get a job sometime, but the names you threw out are good ones too. So it'll be interesting.
I'd be shocked if they don't go with the minority coach. To me, guys like Bieniemy makes sense, but again, Leftwich makes too much sense in my opinion. If he wants the job, I don't know. There might be people who say, I don't want to go to Jacksonville. We don't know. Maybe Eric Bieniemy turned down jobs last year. We don't know. But nonetheless, there's definitely going to be lots of candidates out there. There are some old college candidates out there too, but I'd be shocked if Jacksonville goes back to that well. One more time. So, Urban Meyer's fired. We agree he should have been fired probably a couple weeks ago. But he finally does get fired, and we'll see. We'll talk about Jacksonville this week when we get to our picks here, in a few minutes. But more importantly than real life football is fantasy football. We all know this to be true. Fantasy football is the most important thing in our lives right now. And we are heading into the fantasy football playoffs, at least most of us. And with the playoffs starting, this week has been nuts. COVID issues, injuries as well, coaches being fired. Who in the world should we start and who should we sit? So we bring in our friend, Kevin Wilson, is going to join us now. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Vince. How about yourself?
I'm doing awesome as well. It's good to see you again, Kevin and I. Co-host a fantasy baseball show during season, and excited to hopefully for that to start up this spring. We'll see how all the lockout stuff goes, but we're here to talk fantasy football today. Kevin writes for Belly Up Sports. He also has his own show on Colorcast as well, and doing his own stuff there also. And like I said, fantasy baseball show on Belly Up Sports, Belly Up Fantasy Sports as well. Kevin, before we get into fantasy football, I want to talk real football. You're wearing your Seahawks jersey.
There it is.
At the beginning of the season, I told you in our NFL West preview that Seattle was going to have a down year this year, and you didn't like that very much. Are you with me now?
Well, I got to be with you, seeing as how they're at the bottom of the division. But, if they were playing the 49ers every week, they'd finish 14-3. But they know how to handle them. But unfortunately, they're not. And Russell Wilson was hurt. And then when he came back, it clearly was not okay. And things were not going well at all. They'd lost 5 games in a row for the first time in his NFL career. And the next loss, if they suffer, that'll be his first losing record in the entire time he's been a starting quarterback. So you got to like that. Maybe not this year you don't like it too much, but, it just goes to show what good, how good a quarterback he's been all these years.
Will Pete Carroll be the coach next year? Will Russell Wilson be the quarterback next year? Will one of them be gone or will both of them be gone?
Well, the chances of them both being gone are probably pretty high. And I think that comes down to Russell Wilson's contract, because the main reason why he wasn't moved this year is because if they did, they would have taken a gigantic hit in their, against the cap. Mm-hmm. And so this year he wasn't going anywhere. He could have sat down and never showed up in public this entire year. They weren't going to do anything because they had something like a $35 million cap hit. Or something like that. It was insane. So they weren't going to do anything with him this year. Maybe next year. He just don't know. One minute he's saying, I want to go to these teams, and the next minute he's saying, I love it here, and I want to be here till the sun sets, or whatever it was he was saying just a couple weeks ago. So
it seems like most people have forgotten the Russell Wilson drama because the Aaron Rodgers drama took over. For a while. There was a lot of drama there for Russell Wilson and the Seahawks.
Yeah, I wasn't buying that drama. There was a lot of, like you're saying, Vince, a lot of drama. I wasn't buying any of it because I knew that they weren't going to move him just because of the money. They weren't going to do it, and they can entertain offers, whatever it was, but they weren't doing anything with him.
Now the big rumor is the Giants possibly next season. But
that rumor makes zero sense to me. Why in the world would you want to go to the Giants, who are they're not close to being a contending team. I can understand why the Seahawks might, because they got two first round picks.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm you come in and offer me two first round picks, I'm probably going to do that.
Yeah. All right, let's get to fantasy football. It's a big week. Fantasy playoffs are starting this week, and there is so much chaos out there right now on rosters, people trying to figure out what is going on. So talk to me. Let's start with guys that we need to sit, guys that should not be playing this week.
All right, so I'm going to start with the quarterbacks and the guy that, unfortunately, you know, we're talking about Russell Wilson, we're talking about the Seahawks, and the first guy I'm going to sit is Russell Wilson himself. And he's played, you know, very well the last couple weeks. He's got 6 touchdowns and an interception in his last 2 games. But, you know, playing the Houston Texans, you know, rights a lot of wrongs in the world. And so, but unfortunately for him, he's playing the Rams. They're playing on the road. And he has struggled his entire NFL career. Now, if they're playing the Rams every week, they might win 5 games. So, you know, that's just, you know, sometimes, you know, certain players or certain teams have somebody's number. And that reminds me of Greg Maddux. You know, he was probably the pitcher of his era. But and when he went up against Tony Gwynn hit over 400 in his career against Greg Maddux. So it didn't matter what he threw up there. And so that's the same thing here with Russell Wilson. He has just, whether they were in St. Louis, whether in L.A., or whether they're playing on the moon, apparently, He just struggles against them. And they played him, let's see, back in week 4. And he only passed for 152 yards. And that was at home. So, unfortunately, they're playing on the road this week. And this loss, I think, is going to, you know, cause him to have his first losing record of his NFL career. Hmm. And so I just don't like the matchup at all. And so I'm sitting him. And another player that I'm sitting, unfortunately for me, because I got Russell Wilson on my fantasy team, but I also have Joe Burrow. And he was really good last week. He 25 of 34 for 348 yards against the 49ers. Unfortunately for him, he's playing in Denver this week. And Denver is the 5th best against quarterbacks, you know, in the NFL.
Hmm.
And so and before that, he was struggling. So I'm going to have to make a decision. Am I starting Wilson or am I starting Burrow? Either way, it doesn't look good. And so, you know, a lot of these guys, you have to play them if you have another option that you can use, especially if you're in 2 quarterback leagues, I would look at that seriously. And another guy that's just crashed down to earth, and the whole team has crashed down to earth, that's Derek Carr of the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that whole situation, it just came to a head this past week when they just got absolutely hammered by Kansas City. And he's got Cleveland this week. They're number 6 against quarterbacks. And so there's got to be a better option on, you know, out there than David Carr. So it's on the road, you know, as well. So those 3 quarterbacks are my sits of the week at the quarterback position.
I like it. Let's talk about receivers. There's a lot of action on receivers right now between injuries. Hopkins was announced this week that he's going on the IR. Yep. They're hoping to get him back for the playoffs, but he's done. He's been out a lot this season.
Yep.
Then the announcement came out about Jalen Waddle. He's tested positive or is in the COVID protocol. That kills me in multiple leagues. So I've got to trust some guys on the wide receiver level this week in the playoffs that I'm not excited about playing. So talk to me wide receiver wise, guys that we should sit and guys that we need to play.
Okay, so guys that we need to sit, you know, unfortunately you mentioned him, Jalen Waddle. He was at the top of my start list because, you know, they got the Jets, and any team that playing the Jets, just start them. And but as you alluded to, you know, he may play. But I don't see it happening this week. But some players that need to sit. First of all, I'm going to go with Marquise Brown of the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson. You know, we're talking about players that may, you know, that were having issues, and he may not play. Tyler Huntley, whoever, you know, who's heard of Tyler Huntley? Anyone?
We have now, but before this season, probably not too much.
But, you know, he came in. He played pretty decent. this past week, but not passing the ball to Marquise Brown. So either one of those guys, he has no TDs since week 7, and he has a top 55 yards in his last 4 games. And so, you know, that this is a guy you need to sit. And another guy that I have on my fantasy team, that's Jerry Jeudy of the Denver Broncos. And, you know, he was hurt for, you know, and everything, and he came back, and everybody's like, yay, Jerry Judy's back. Well, no. His last 3 weeks, he has 11 catches, and that's it. He has no TDs on the season, period, none, zero, zilch. And Teddy Bridgewater apparently, you know, doesn't trust him, whatever it is. He's not throwing to him. Of course, you know, you could sit every wide receiver that Denver has. Sit them all.
That's what I was getting ready to ask you. I've got Tim Patrick that I picked up late in the season just as a guy, as a filler for injuries and things like that. And he's had a couple okay weeks, but the last 4 weeks that he's played, 4 points or less. And so I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, all Denver, sent them all because, they're playing the Bengals. And the Bengals, been up and down, but they're third against the pass. Hmm. And so that doesn't speak well of that. And another player that's missed games, that's Julio Jones of Tennessee. And, you can talk about their quarterback as well. He's another guy I could have mentioned earlier to sit him. And Ryan Tannehill, of course. Yeah, Julio Jones has no TDs on the season, which shouldn't be a surprise, as even when he was catching 190 passes or whatever it was he was doing, he wasn't getting in the end zone. So that shouldn't – but he's not catching 190 passes this year. Against Jacksonville, and if you can't do against Jacksonville, you can't do it. And he had 4 catches for just 33 yards. And so
you're hurting me, Kevin. I picked up Julio Jones this week. He was available on waivers. I picked him up, and I told my dad, I said, I probably won't even play him. And then Waddle goes down, and now I'm sitting there looking at Julio Jones starting for me in the playoffs. I'm like, oh, no.
He's got a great matchup this week against the Steelers, and but there's no way that you can put your trust in at all on Julio Jones.
Right.
And, like you say, if you have to, you have to, but he's far down on the list. There's got to be guys that you can put in at wide receiver that I'd have a whole lot more faith in, and a couple of those guys, if you happen to have Darnell Mooney of the Bears. And of course, you wouldn't know that against Green Bay. And of course, the Bears actually looked pretty good in that first half against Green Bay, but not so much for Mooney, because he had 1 catch for 19 yards. But he's had 121
yards.
Not
playing the Packers,
123 yards in the 2 games before that. They're not playing the Packers. In fact, they're playing Minnesota, and they're last in pass defense. Now, Minnesota's been known, ever since the Purple People Eaters and all that. So that's really got to, Minnesota cannot be happy with the fact that they're last against the pass. So Darnell Mooney is a guy that I would put out there and trust him, even though, like I said, he had just 1 catch. He shouldn't have just 1 catch this week. And another player, Detroit Lions. This might surprise some guys. That's Amon-Ra St. Brown. Now, if I was to ask the question, what wide receiver has 24 targets in the last 2 weeks, who would that be? I'm pretty sure that St. Brown wouldn't come to the top of anybody's list, but that's exactly what's happened. He has 24 targets, and yet he's turned that into 18 catches. In the last 2 weeks, and they're playing Arizona, which may not be that great a thing, but then maybe it is, because Detroit will probably have to play catch up. And so as you mentioned, they've got some issues on their offense, but you've got no Hockenson and probably no Swift on Detroit. They've got to play, got to throw it to somebody. So
that's St. Brown, great,
is a good pickup.
That's a great fantasy line that everybody must remember. They've got to throw it to somebody. You got to find the right guy sometimes, but that's a legit thing you got to look at. I want to ask you a team specific question. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they fired their head coach this week. There could be new energy in the building, things like that. Laviska Shenault is there, and he's had some okay games here and there. They've had injuries to their wide receivers this season as well. James Robinson has not been as good as he was last year. Do you think that James Robinson, Laviska Shenault, or somebody else, even Trevor Lawrence, holds a little bit more value this week, or do you think they still don't have much value?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now that James Robinson couldn't possibly, it couldn't get any worse. Because this past week, and how many fantasy points he had, that's a big squadoosh.
Yeah.
Right? And so he goes to the very top of my start list simply because Urban Meyer is now, I'm not going to say he's got a sign that says we'll work for food, because obviously he made the cash out of doing what he did. But, I don't understand how this guy only had six carries this past game. And like I said, zero fantasy points. And I drafted him. And so it definitely pained me to see this going on. It really hurt. And so, fire up James Robinson this week. And I'm not so sure about Trevor Lawrence if you're in a two-quarterback league, but even if you are, there's got to be better guys. He's in a better situation. I think they're all in a better situation now.
Yeah.
But out of those guys, the only one I'm starting is Robinson.
Okay. Yeah, Shenault is a guy I drafted in every league I was in. I've held on to him in a couple leagues. And he's had a couple 20-point weeks, not consistently. But I'm wondering if he'll shine this weekend with Waddle being out. I'm going to give it a go. Dad, any questions specifically for Kevin?
Yeah, when the Arizona game against Detroit, and with Hopkins being out, do you think there's a chance Ertz would have a pretty good game this week?
Well, as we talked about earlier, they got to do it something, throw it to someone, they got to run someone, and they've got Murray and back. And so I think that opens up that whole offense. And all those guys, got to be – they're playing Detroit. Mm-hmm. And so, the three of us could line up and play against Detroit and be successful.
I think you overestimate our athletic ability.
So I like Arizona players. Connor, get him going on right there. So I like their play. If you're playing Detroit, start him.
Yeah, and there's a chance Chase Edmonds comes back this week as well. Yeah,
that's talk about a player you drafted. That really hurt me as well, because I took Chase Edmonds. He looked pretty decent, earlier in the season. But there's my cat right behind me there coming in to say, listen to what I'm telling you. So.
That means play all Carolina Panthers this week. That was the sign from the cat. He said, go out and run Cam Newton or Chuba Hubbard or somebody like that this week.
Well, unfortunately, Chuba Hubbard's a sit for me, cat notwithstanding. And, when you got Walker and you got Cam as your quarterback, it ain't happening. And I was kind of thinking that Cam, a few weeks ago, he killed.
Yeah.
But ever since then, he was killed. And so so it's not looking good. He had no targets done this past week. So you got to sit Chuba Hubbard. I understand why you picked him up with CMC out and everything else, but that's a guy you just can't trust him at all. Don't put him in your lineup. Do yourself a favor.
Dad, anything else?
No, I just like said it with Arizona, it'd be interesting with Hopkins out. Does one of their other receivers, because they really spread it around, it's hard to play Arizona receivers. But will one of them get to be the main target now with Hopkins out? Be interesting to see over the next week or two, because it's been dangerous. I've got Christian Kirk.
I do too.
Dangerous to know when to play him because, he may not get anything that week, and he may have a big week.
Because I have Christian Kirk myself, and against Detroit, I'm probably going to roll him out.
So take a shot at him, right? Especially with the injuries that are going on right now. Good night, Rondale Moore, maybe even AJ Green, long shot. AJ Green. But yeah, Christian Kirk.
Definitely Kirk is the one I would, you know, definitely circle my camp around him before, you know, those other guys.
Yeah. All right. Kevin Wilson, Belly Up Sports. Tell everybody where they can find you at.
Well, you can always find me on Twitter at Kevin62WILSEA. And except for this week, because, you know, my wife and I are taking some time off. So this is about the first week in a year and a half I didn't do an article. But you can always, going forward, once a week, you'll find an article on from me on the Belly Up Fantasy site. And if you go to the ColorCast app Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Central, you'll find the Wilson Weekend Sports Review. And I was quite pleased this past week because, you know, Navy beat Army. So mm-hmm. I was able to play the Navy fight song. So, yay. And so, but yeah, at 10 a.m. Saturday mornings, you can find me on ColorCast, and that's where you can get me.
Live talk from Kevin Wilson Saturday mornings on ColorCast. That's available for all Apple users. Eventually, they're working on getting it available for Android users as well. But you can get the ColorCast app for free and listen to Kevin Wilson every Saturday morning. Kevin, it's great talking to you again. We'll talk to you again soon. Hopefully, some baseball. Hopefully the lockout ends and we'll get some baseball talk.
That would always be excellent, Vince. And it's, you know, it's always a pleasure to be on. So,
all right. Thanks, Kevin. Give your wife our best as well.
I sure will do that. Thanks, Vince.
All right. See you, Kev. That's Kevin Wilson from Belly Up Sports, bellyupfantasysports.com. And again, articles weekly with fantasy football advice. And then as baseball season comes around, lots of baseball material as well. And you can listen to them every Saturday morning on the ColorCast app as well, where he talks all things sports. All right, Dad, let's get into some more football news. We need to get to our picks here shortly, but let's start with this. The playoff outlook. Before we get to that, I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers. The notion was mentioned this week by I don't remember who, and I apologize. They're national. They get plenty of credit. About the idea of maybe sitting Rodgers, giving him a break once they got the division sealed up, clinched, all that kind of stuff. Because of his toe injury, he says it's very painful. He can play on it. He said all along, I'm not going to miss any time. But he said it is really painful. Do you think it would be wise slash good for the Packers to rest Aaron Rodgers to close out the season? There's four games left. Or do you think until they know for sure about the one seed that they should just keep playing as normal?
I think they will keep playing as normal until they know about the one seed. And I think that's what they ought to do. I mean, he had the bye week and he came back feeling better. And then as soon as he got in the game, you know, I don't think it's going to get any better. Whether it's going to get any worse, then they'll have to know with the doctors from there. If there's a chance he could get to where he get bad enough, he really couldn't play. Then, you know, you would need to be careful with it. I think if they lock up the number one seed or know they cannot get the number one seed, then they might rest him for a game. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that's going and how he feels. He's still playing at a very high level. So it's a matter of, you know, the pain threshold. And none of us really know what's going on with that. So I wouldn't expect to be any resting of him right now. I do think it probably would be his decision. And if he come to a point where he said, hey, I ought to sit out, then I think you would think it's serious enough.
Yeah, I mean, until the one seed's figured out. Now, if they're not going to clinch the one seed, maybe it makes more sense. But I think you still want the two seed, too, because if the one seed gets upset in the first round, you got a home field at Lambeau in the NFC Championship game. So I would be shocked if they sit him out. The other positive for that would be is, hey, Jordan Love would get some snaps. He's off the COVID list again, so he's back at it. You know, maybe that works out. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. All right, let's a quick playoff outlook right now in the AFC. You've got the Patriots, the Ravens, the Titans, the Chiefs that are in. Then you've got the Chargers, and Chargers and Chiefs are playing right now. You got the Chargers, and then you've got the tiebreaker between Indianapolis, Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Buffalo there as well. Miami's still in the hunt as well. We talked about the Patriots last week, so we won't spend time on that. To me, still, the NFC North is the most interesting division right now because you just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to win the division or how it's all going to shake out there. In the NFC, you've got Dallas, Green Bay, Tampa, Arizona as the division leaders, the Rams at 9-4 in, and then you've got San Francisco in as well right now with Washington, Philly, Minnesota, Atlanta, New Orleans, all right there at 6-7 as well. So as we're 4 weeks away from the playoffs, not a single team has clinched a playoff spot yet. Does that surprise you?
Yes, in some ways, but like I said, you know, we've looked at it. This is going to be quite the shootout the last 4 weeks. I don't think anything's going to be decided at least for a couple weeks. And in the AFC, I don't know that anybody's a guarantee to win their division yet for sure. Probably, unfortunately, Tennessee has the best shot at that. But again, Indianapolis is right there. And, you know, New England looks strong, but you got Buffalo. And, yeah, in the North, you have no idea who's going to win that. So it'll be interesting. And the San Diego game will go a long ways tonight. Again, I think Kansas City. But and even after you get past the division winners, it's going to be real chaos in the AFC. And I do think I've said all along that the NFC, that seventh spot, is going to be quite the battle. I think it could get settled for the spots above them, definitely the number five seed and maybe the number six seed. But that last one's going to come down. And that'll make for good football because, again, you know, teams are going to be fighting for a spot as long as they've got hope. And it looks like it'll go that right down to the last week.
Yeah, I agree with you on all of that. The only exception that I'll make is we won't know anything about San Diego, but we will know about Los Angeles. Yeah, and it happens, right? It's going to happen multiple times between Las Vegas and LA and then San Diego and LA. We're going to slip it up occasionally. But we do know what we're talking about. I promise we both know the Chargers play in Los Angeles. Okay, Dad, let's get to our picks this week and the games going on this week as well. Interesting slate. Again, the COVID stuff is just causing havoc as well. Let's get started, though. Who's your first pick this week? We were both 3-3 last week, by the way, 50%. That's not too bad. Who's your first game this week?
First game, I'm going to take Green Bay and the points. The line may change on that with Kenny Clark being out. Or could be out more than likely. And that scares me a little bit. But again, I think Green Bay, you know, Baltimore's been really up and down. And even though it's in Baltimore, I'm going to take Green Bay on that one.
Yeah, I picked Green Bay as well. They're 5.5-point favorites over Baltimore. They're at home. No, they're at Baltimore. And, but Baltimore's so beat up. Green Bay is playing so well, even with Kenny Clark out. I don't think, I mean, it'll affect the Packers to some degree for sure because he's incredible. But I'm definitely taking Green Bay. I feel very comfortable with Green Bay 5.5 there as well. All right, game number two.
I'll take the underdog. I'll take Cincinnati over Denver. It's in Denver, but again, Cincinnati, if they're going to stay in this, has to win it. Of course, Denver has a lot to play for, too. Bengals are really kind of up and down, but I'm going to go with Cincinnati in 2.5.
Yeah, Cincinnati 2.5-point underdogs on the road in Denver. I looked at this one, Dad. I stayed away from it. I was a little too concerned for a number of different reasons. And, you know, Kevin brought it up talking about fantasy football. Denver's been really good against the pass this year as well. Actually, they seem to have gotten a little better after Von Miller left, which is weird. But nonetheless, I stayed away from this one. This one scares me a little bit. I went with a one that's being COVID affected. I'm going to go with Cleveland. They're a 1-point underdog to Las Vegas. I told you many weeks ago, I felt like Vegas, they were just done for. And they might be the better team or at least have the better quarterback this week. But at the end of the day, to me, I really like what Cleveland has. I think they need a win desperately as well. And even though Baker Mayfield spoke out against the league today and their COVID policies, which is interesting, we might get to that. We probably won't. But nonetheless, there might be some league animosity there. But I'm going to go with Cleveland +1 over Vegas. Who's your third game?
I'll take the Rams and the points over to cover over Seattle.
Rams are only 4.5-point favorites. That's a low line. I understand why you went there. I stayed away from this game, but Four and a half is not much. Seattle is in – this is kind of their last chance, right? If Seattle loses this game, their hopes of the playoffs are pretty well shot. Not numerically, but realistically. Not a great shot for them if they lose this game. But the Rams at 9-4 are still fighting to get to the top of the division and catch up with Arizona. Four and a half is a good number. I overlooked that one, apparently. But that's a good pick. I like that one. My third game is trust the old Washington football team. They're 9-point underdogs against Philadelphia. And Philadelphia is not that good. Washington has played well. And so I thought 9 points is a lot of points. I'll go ahead and go with Washington plus 9 versus Philly. Your fourth game.
I'm going to take Minnesota over Chicago. I think Chicago is just a mess, and Minnesota is still in the hunt for the playoffs. And so I'm going to take the Vikings.
Vikings 5.5 point favorites on the road against Chicago. I like the Vikings offense. They've got some real key factors there. I don't like this game for Minnesota, though. I think Chicago comes out of this with the win at home, desperately needing it. Nagy needs something to prolong his stay in Chicago. I think we saw them pull out all the stops against Green Bay early on, trick plays and just different kind of gadgets and gizmos. And I think they beat Minnesota this week. So I stayed away from this game. I did not pick Chicago. I don't like picking Monday night games for whatever reason. But nonetheless, I disagree with you. I think Chicago wins this one. But you go Minnesota 5.5. My fourth game is the Tennessee Titans. I don't take them very often, but they're -1 point favorites against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is horrible. The Titans aren't that much better of a team. Actually, as I say that, the Titans are now at even. So we're going to change that line to even. It's a pick'em game. I think Tennessee beats Pittsburgh because I think Pittsburgh is horrible. So I'll take Tennessee at the even mark against Pittsburgh. Your fifth game.
I'm going to take Atlanta as the underdog against San Francisco. I don't think they'll win, but I don't think 9 points. To me, that one looks good. I think Atlanta will keep a closer than that. And so I'm going to take Atlanta and the points, but I'm not sure they'll win.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I picked Atlanta as well, 9.5 point underdog to San Francisco. Atlanta's been playing better as of late. Actually, Atlanta is even in the playoff hunt right now, which is crazy to think about. They come off a win over Carolina, 29-21 last week. They lost the Tampa the week before, but then they beat the Jaguars the week before that. I think Atlanta keeps this one close, and I'm with you. I picked Atlanta as well. All right, your last game for the week.
That one is a tough one because I'm going to have to take a team with a high point spread, and really there's two of them that I think will both win. But I'll go ahead and go with Buffalo over Carolina.
All right, Buffalo. They are a 10.5 point favorite right now against Carolina. Carolina has looked really bad. Buffalo has not looked that much better, though, either. They are a better team, no doubt. I stayed away from this one because of my fear. I just don't know what's going on in Buffalo right now. My last pick, Dan, I'm going with the Houston Texans. +4.5 against Jacksonville. I could not believe Jacksonville was favorited. Actually, that number is now up to 5. Jacksonville favorited by 5 points shocks me. With everything that's happened this week, I know Houston's not good, but I think they can hang with Jacksonville at the very least. Any thoughts on that game?
Well, I had that game picked early on, and then when the Urban Meyer stuff hit, you just don't know. Is Jacksonville going to play inspired? So that's why I stayed away from this game. I did have the Houston picked, and I think Houston could have beat them. But I don't know what's going to happen. Is Jacksonville just going to be totally bad as they have been, or is there going to be some inspiration here because of what happened? So that's why I stayed away from that one.
Which way does your gut lean? Do you think Jacksonville comes out inspired and plays well, or do you think they're so beaten down that they're just – this season's just a wash for them?
I think they can come out and play inspired. But whether they will or not, I don't know. But I think there's potential for that because everyone was so negative about with Meyer. And you know, I think there'd be a better atmosphere, and it would be interesting to see how Lawrence does.
Yeah, it's going to come down to play calling, isn't it? I mean, I think so. I think the offense, what they decide to do with them, will they put Lawrence in a situation where they run the football that they've not been doing as of late? They've got some weapons. Will they use them creatively? What will they do? If the offensive play caller comes out inspired, I think Jacksonville has a real shot to look good, or at least far better than they've looked this season. To me, Houston is kind of like that Detroit team. There's a steadiness about them. They're not good, but there is a steadiness. They're making a quarterback change, though, as well. That's a little scary, but I feel like Houston is trying to figure out what they have so they can decide what they're going to do moving forward. Jacksonville, to me, they're just that. They're so beaten down, so discouraged by how the season's gone. They just need a break. And I don't think they're going to get it this week. So that's why I went that direction as well. Some big games going on this week. Tonight, Chiefs and Chargers are playing. Chiefs currently lead that game 6-0 in the first quarter. We got Saturday football, Dad. Vegas and the Browns. We also got the Patriots and the Colts. Let's talk about Patriots and Colts. Patriots leading the division, leading the AFC. The Colts battling hard for a playoff spot, and maybe trying to catch Tennessee as well. What do you think that New England-Indianapolis game looks like?
Well, New England has really looked good lately. This is at Indianapolis, though, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
And so I think Indianapolis has got a shot, and I don't think New England, while they've played good here lately, I don't know that they're a lock, you know, to go through everybody. They may end up being the number one seed in the AFC, but like I said, the division's not wrapped up for sure yet. And Indianapolis is a team that has to have all the motivation because they've still got a shot definitely to get into playoffs and maybe to win the division.
Yeah, the Colts have won four of their last five. They lost to Tampa by one possession in a game that they probably could have won. And then now they've got New England to play, and then they follow that with Arizona, Vegas, and Jacksonville. So they have a good potential to close out the season well. They need to win at least two of the next four, but they'd like to win three of the next four, and we'll see what happens with that. Other games that we haven't talked about at all, Dolphins and Jets. Kevin talked about it with fantasy football, but Jalen Waddle's out. Tua's been playing better, but losing his biggest weapon. You know, the Jets are trying to again build and show something this season at 3-10. How do you expect that game in Miami to go, Miami versus the Jets?
Well, as we've talked about it, Miami's doing better and making a push for the playoffs, but this is going to hurt with Waddle out. So, and of course, it is a division game. So the Jets, you know, always have a chance there to be motivation. So, but yeah, with Waddle out and everything going on, I have no idea how this will go.
All right, I want to move on to college football as we're getting late into the show. I want to make sure we get to some of these topics here as well. Should be a decent slate, though, this week in the NFL for sure. College football, I want to start with Clemson. Dabo Swinney loses his two top assistants to head coaching jobs. Elliott goes to Virginia. And Venables goes to Oklahoma, and Dabo promotes from within. He said he didn't even interview outside candidates. He had two guys on his staff that he thought were ready for the job to step up. A down year for Clemson, even though it was only a three-loss season. You know, what's going on in Clemson? Do you think that they'll bounce back next year, or do you think they're going to be in a slight rebuild, meaning they're losing two or three games a season?
I think they could lose a couple games a season for a little bit, mainly because I know we may talk about recruiting here in a little bit. When I looked at that, they, you know, they didn't have a great, great first day, which is the first time that's happened in a long time. But that could be with the assistants leaving. As far as him promoting from within, that might not be a bad idea. They've had a great staff, and they know his system and what's going on there. And Clemson's going to be okay. They're gonna get players. Now, whether they're going to be one of the top two teams every year like they were for a while, probably going to take a couple of years to get back to that. But it'll be interesting. You know, again, just see what players he gets.
Yeah, and you're right. With Venables going to Oklahoma, he probably got at least two recruits that were going to go to Clemson that decided to hold off and either went to Oklahoma or will eventually sign with Oklahoma, you know, because of that. It was a down year for Clemson, even in recruiting. Let's talk about that, of the effect of hiring coaches, firing coaches before the bowl games are played, right before the early recruiting, the signing period here that happened December the 15th. In my opinion, it just seems like that kind of stuff needs to wait till the bowls are done. And I know you can't do that completely with recruiting. You want to be, you know, be able to be honest with people who the coaches are going to be and things like that. I don't know how they can change that. I don't know if it's possible to change that. It just seems like the hiring process happening right at the end of the season and right before the early signing period, man, that just, it seems like really bad timing.
Well, it definitely is going to be for the bowls. I mean, it's going to throw things off from there. But again, I mean, the way it's set up now, you know, your championship bowls are the only ones that really matter. So people aren't worried about that from there. And you're right with recruiting. You do want kids, with having the early signing period, you know, you want kids to know who the coach is going to be. So it is going to affect the bowls, but that may be the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, and you said it. There's basically two bowls that matter, and it's the college football playoff bowls. And outside of that, you know, I've changed my mind on this, Dad, because – we've watched as guys are skipping bowl games to prepare for the draft. The Michigan State running back came out today and announced that he was going to do that. There have been others as well. And when that first started being a thing where star players were sitting out bowl games to prepare for the draft, boy, I went off. They're selfish. And how in the world? They made a commitment. They need to fulfill the commitment. All that kind of stuff. But I've changed on that over the last couple of years because now I look at it and realize the bowl games don't matter. They matter for money for the university. They matter for resume to some degree for the coaches, but the only games that matter, the only bowl games that matter are the playoff games, and that should extend in the years to come. But right now it's what do I care if a kid doesn't play in a bowl that just doesn't matter? It doesn't really matter. And it's a great opportunity for the guys next year that are going to be on the team next year to get some playing time in a big game as well. And have all that. Let's talk about the transfer portal. You know, we've both said this is probably not long term going to be great for college football. It's going to affect the fan bases. It's going to affect how people view it. I admit, Dad, I'm kind of leaning more positive on the transfer portal than I thought I would, but I want to get your thoughts on it. Pros or cons, good or bad. You know, the rule is that every player can one time transfer to a school without having to sit out a year. Your thoughts on the portal and do you think it's good or bad?
Well, I think it'll take another year or two to see where the fallout comes from it. Again, I really came to my mind when the recruiting thing happened, when it had the early signing period. That really changes things. You know, a kid, you know, before, boy, I'm going to go to this school and that's where I'm going to be. Well, now that's not true. He can sign, and if it doesn't work out, if he can't beat out the other two running backs, he can go somewhere else. And I'm sure the colleges look at it, the coaches the same way. You know, boy, I've got this kid now. I've got him for 3 or 4 years. That's not true. So the portal, I think, really changed the recruiting thing, and we'll see how that falls.
Yeah, it's got to change the coaches' pitches. They've got to be able to talk to a kid and know, hey, you know, here's the deal. You're going to come in, you're going to compete, but I can't promise you a job. In the past, they could say, I'm going to promise you, you're going to come in, you're going to play as a freshman. If they don't, what are the kids going to do? You know, they're stuck there. Now they're not stuck there. So the coaches have to be more honest with the recruits and tell them exactly not what they want to hear, but what the truth is. As well, it provides a free agency of sorts in college football, and to me, it's a really neat opportunity for fan bases to help recruit and for some big players to change places. And you know, it's intriguing. I think there's over 1,000 football players in the transfer portal this year That's crazy. That's a lot of guys moving schools or looking to move schools. Not all of them will get new opportunities and they'll end up back where they were. But nonetheless, it is affecting college football. In Lexington, where college basketball, the team's not the same year to year. There's always a bunch of new guys. I could tell you it hurts the fan base. They don't know the people as well. They don't get behind the kids the same way because they don't invest in them because they're there a shorter amount of time. So unless you're Joe Burrow that comes in and wins a national championship, I think overall the fan bases aren't going to love these transfers, especially if they're just there for 1 year and they don't get a chance to know them that well. So I think that'll hurt some of that fan bases and things like that. But overall, I think it's good for the kids to be able to do it, to find a school where they can play and whatnot from there, and especially in circumstances like coaches leaving and those sorts of things as well. Quinn Ewers, he went to Ohio State. He sat out his last eligible season in high school, went up and enrolled in Ohio State early, was, from all we understand, had a chance to compete for the job. Did not win it, of course, at Ohio State. Made a lot of money, but not really because he was going to Ohio State. It was more local Texas stuff. But nonetheless, made a lot of money to go sit on the bench and learn some things at Ohio State. He transfers now to Texas, and Steve Sarkisian there. You know, you mentioned in our conversation earlier, well, why didn't he just go there to begin with? Sarkisian's first year, and I don't know what all opportunities were there for him and what he knew about Ohio State and those sorts of things as well, and what he expected at Ohio State. But he goes to Texas. Do you think this is a good thing for Quinn Ewers? Do you think it's a good thing for Texas? Do you think it's a good thing for college football that a guy with such a marketability goes to a school like Texas that struggled here in recent years?
Well, I think it'll probably be good for both of them because Texas had a really unbelievable recruiting year from there. I would guess that the whole move to the SEC is what's really helped with this. The kids that they flipped, and even Ewers looking at it, when he looked to go to Texas before, probably, they weren't going to be in the SEC. Well, now they are. And I'm sure that was an attraction for him, too. And for Texas to get these kids now, Sarkisian is a name that can draw and attract people. To me, he's always been a little shady, but it may not be. Texas is a school with a lot of, a lot of tradition, and of course, Ewers being from Texas. Everybody was shocked at the way Texas ended up with the recruiting thing yesterday. And, the fans are going to have high expectations because they've got talent now.
Ewers was at the Elite 11 camps with Trent Dilfer, and Dilfer was on the Ryan Russillo podcast this week, and they asked him about Ewers, and he wasn't very glowing. He said he has an amazing arm, maybe the best arm he's ever seen coming out of high school, but it's all the other things that he's worried about with Quinn Ewers. Will he put in the work? Will he understand the need for the other area's leadership, character, those kinds of things? And when a guy like Trent Dilfer says he's questioning the leadership, character, intangibles of a quarterback, that scares me to death. He does have talent, and maybe he'll be able to showcase that talent at Texas in the coming years. All right, Dad. I think that's good. Anything else you want to say? I mean, the SEC dominated overall in recruiting. Texas A&M was number one, Bama number two, Georgia number three in the signing classes. Pretty much even Vanderbilt was number 33 or 34, depending on where you look. The SEC just absolutely dominates recruiting still to this day. Notre Dame, others had good classes as well. Oh, let's talk about real quick the five-star defensive back, Travis Hunter, flipped from Florida State to Jackson State to go play with Coach Prime down there. What are your thoughts on that decision by the young man, Travis Hunter?
Well, obviously, Deion had a lot going for him to get him. But when I looked at that, to me, that's the transfer portal. You know, is he going to play for Jackson State for 4 years? I don't know about that. But again, he's going to get a lot of publicity. And again, you know, I think for kids to go to schools that aren't maybe the top schools where they're really going to showcase their talent, they're really going to dominate. And then, hey, in another year or two, they can move to another school. I've got to believe that affected that decision a little bit, without a doubt. And that may be a trend. I've kept an idea on a couple other schools that, you know, they might be able to attract somebody. You know, they won't say, well, hey, you could transfer, but, you know, the kid would know I could go here. I know I can start right away. I can dominate in this conference. I'm going to be all conference easily, and I'm going to get more attention. Where otherwise he may go to a big school and he'll be competing for a spot and maybe sharing playing time or still not be able to play his first year.
And the other thing that goes with what you're saying is Deion Sanders probably won't be at Jackson State for 4 more years. He interviewed at TCU this year. So, I mean, if Deion moves somewhere else, all these guys can go with him wherever he goes. Maybe Deion's coaching Florida State next year, in which case Travis Hunter could end up at Florida State again. And so, yeah, there's all kinds of potential there. It's an interesting move. Hunter said he's trying to pave a way and show other top recruits that they can go to historically black colleges and universities and play there. Of course, you know, Deion got upset because of things that were being said about the kid and why are HBCUs considered lower class and those kind of things. I don't think it has anything to do with race. Honestly, I think in this situation, it's because he didn't go to a top tier college. He didn't go to the guys competing for national championships. I think had he gone to North Texas, I think that people would have said the same things that they said. But nonetheless, it is what it is. Congratulations to Travis Hunter. Congratulations to Coach Prime and Jackson State landing a massive recruit. And then poor Florida State. They did not end up well in the recruiting ranks this round either. All right, last thing I want to mention today is UFC fights going on this Saturday. It's a great card. It's loaded. The Black Beast, Derek Lewis, is headlining against Chris Daukaus. Bilal Muhammad and Stephen Thompson are going to be a great matchup as well. There's other great names. Cub Swanson's on this card. Gerald Meerschaert. Air Jourdain is there. But I wanted to call out friend of the podcast, Harry Hunsucker. He's fighting his second UFC fight against Justin Taffa. Taffa is a -330 favorite in this fight. Hunsucker, this will be his first UFC fight where he actually had a full camp. He was on Dana White's Contender Series on 4 days' notice. He fought Bam Bam on, I think, 2 days' notice. And both of those were losses, but they were last-minute step-ins. So they gave him a contract, gave him a chance to prepare for a fight, and he fights off against Justin Taffa this Saturday. And so I would encourage you, support Harry Hunsucker, Harry the Hurricane Hunsucker, as he fights on Saturday out in Vegas there, and should be a good fight, and we're cheering for you, Harry. Good luck, and hopefully you're coming back to with a win under your belt there this weekend as well. All right, Dad, good show. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. Lots to talk about in the sports world. We didn't quite get to everything on our list, but we'll call it a show with that. A reminder, every Wednesday we drop an episode called The Local Hour, heavily covered on EKU football. We've got this past week we interviewed head coach A.W. Hamilton, and then star guard Jamaru Brown came on. Great conversation with Jamaru, by the way. He's an excellent young man, and grew up in Raleigh. Idolizes John Wall, plays very similar to him and whatnot. It is a really, really good interview there, I think, at least. And A.W. Hamilton is a fun coach to talk with as well. Great job there. This coming Wednesday, we're talking with numerous signees for EKU football, guys that have committed on December 15th to come play at EKU. Right now, I think we have 5 of them lined up, possibly up to 8 guys that we're talking to this week. So it'll be a fun show welcoming in the new class to EKU as well. We got our picks. We'll post those on social media for you this weekend for the NFL as well. And we're getting close to Christmas, and we'll have to figure out our Christmas schedule, Dad, for next week. But nonetheless, thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of the Sports Stove Podcast. Follow us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram. There it is, at Sports Stove, right there. You can follow us on Facebook, YouTube as well. Like, subscribe, share, tell the world about the Sports Stove Podcast. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of the Sports Stove Podcast. Until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.